countrywide on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by the Irish Farmers Journal. Get Irish Country Living, your magazine for rural Ireland, every week inside the Irish Farmers Journal.
But first, a picture paints a thousand words. And when Glenn Murphy sent his drone skywards last weekend, he didn't expect what it would bring back.
Right, well, it's just a photograph of my sort of my neighbours that just live over the road here from me.
Monaghan man Glenn heard the sound of the silage mower in a neighbour's field and...
And I was just out taking a few photographs of them, you know, as I went through the grass. And towards the end of my time overshooting, I decided just to take the drone up into the air. And as I took the photograph, I noticed that the field was in the shape of a harp. And it was later on then when I downloaded the photographs, I realised that the lines of grass in the field were similar to strings on a harp. Like, you know, so the picture took up a completely new identity then when I looked at it on the computer.
The photo went viral, sort of signalling the shotgun start to the long overdue beginning of the silage season.
This is the RTE News at 1 with Brian Dobson.
Hi, Damien.
Alan, how are you doing?
Silage making is up and running, but weeks behind because of the weather. So before setting off in search of silage being cut this week, Alan O'Reilly of Carlow Weather told me why the first cut is so late.
Yes, Damien, well, we had an incredibly cold and dry April and also March, really. So we had very little growth in terms of really temperatures were too low, and then we were also, you know, missing the moisture, really. Then in May, we got plenty of moisture, so we got a lot of rain. We got twice the normal rainfall at many stations, but it still was very cold, unfortunately. So temperatures were well back below normal. And it's really only, I suppose, towards the end of May and the first few days now of June that we've seen a spell of weather where the temperatures have picked up. So the growth has really taken off. And then even those that had the growth, I suppose they were looking for a window, and a dry spell was very hard to find, especially in May. And thundery downpours also made it very hard. You know, one farm might have decided to drop and got away with it, and another farm, you know, was hit with thunderstorms and, you know, maybe 20 to 30 millimetres. So it made it very hard for the farmers to try and find that window to get in and to get that silage back up off the ground.
As the sun soaked Dublin on Thursday, I set off southwards to meet Limerick silage contractor Gerald Donoghue near Croome.
Hello, Ger. Not too bad. The sun is shining where I am. What's it like where you are?
Yeah, it is.
Like contractors all over the country, Ger and his team have been working around the clock this week to meet the demands of nervous farmers anxious to get the crop cut and saved as quickly as possible. And it's putting plenty of pressure on contractors like Ger.
A lot of work going on. We were working from Saturday up to Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, working late and all that kind of thing. And it was raining Wednesday, and that was the panic, trying to get all the silage done before this rain on Wednesday, yeah. So we were very busy the last few days.
Are you under a lot of pressure from farmers?
Yeah, we're under a bit of pressure now at the moment because the weather isn't with us at the moment, you know, and we have a lot of customers ringing, wanting to get the silage cut, and they're kind of... you know, look at the weather forecast and they're kind of booking and yeah, so there's a lot of work to do yet, yeah.
Is this the latest that you've started first cuts in a while?
Yes, it has been, yeah, sure, because this time last year we had most of the first cuts done by the end of May, so we're a bit behind now, yeah. This year started way too late. Crops are heavier then as well, you know.
Yeah.
So we're burning extra diesel and all the crops are heavier, burning extra diesel, yeah, so more loads going into the pit, everything's extra, you know.
How many acres will one man or woman be able to mow in a day?
We would say the 10-foot mowers are going down in the background at the minute, and each of those mowers would mow roughly about six acres in an hour. Probably if they're going well, they'd mow 70 acres each in a day, and then we've a set of triple mowers, they'd mow roughly about 12 acres an hour, so they would go through a lot of grass as well, you know. So yeah, you look, I mean, if you were 200 acres or 250 acres, you could knock it easily in a day with the five mowers out, you know.
Yeah, well, we're standing in the middle of a 15-acre field here, and the tractors are on their second lap here, so they've done a lap of the field here in about 4 or 5 minutes. That's fair going.
Yeah, it is. I know they tip away nicely now, sort of. So yeah, they get through it all right. Yeah.
And what about, are there any nests in the middle of these fields at all? Are you worried about disturbing them at all?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I'd be very, very conscious of that now myself. And if I was mowing, and if I did see pheasants moving around the field, I'd actually just stop the mower and get off and kind of move them out to the headland. You know, the kind of way. So yeah. So with the lads, now the lads around the mowers would be the same. You know.
So how long will you be on the go now with this first cut of silage?
Yeah. I'd say another 2 weeks at it anyway, roughly, you know.
It's very much a family affair.
It is, yeah. We've great help with the brother involved, and have two sisters involved, and the father gives a hand, yeah. It's great, and have cousins and everything, and they all give a helping hand, yeah.
So you're well known around these parts?
Yeah, we would be. The father will be well known.
As we were chatting in the field, Ger's dad, Michael, rang him to tell me to hold on, as he wanted to come along and say hello.
Hello, Michael.
Retired school teacher Michael O'Donoghue started the contracting business back in the mid-70s.
How are you keeping? Good to see you.
Same to you. Yeah.
Tell me a little bit more about how you got involved. You started this business back in the 70s.
I started the business. I tell you, I qualified as a teacher.
Yeah.
I was teaching for 26 years. And my second year teaching, we just finished building the house. And I was bored out of my tree at home. Although we were farming, yeah. But I was off and bought a tractor and baler the following year, 1976. It started from there. But in essence, we were baling for about 6 years, and then we got two bad summers in a row, and went from that to double chopping.
Yeah.
Two double chops in 1982-83, and then we went to trail machines in late 80s, and we bought our first self-propelled in 1990-91. That's the story now.
That's the story. And was there enough business to keep you going?
Oh, there was plenty of business, yeah. No. I was just doing the harvesting that time, during my 3 months holidays.
Ah, of course.
But then we branched, as I got towards retiring, I said I retired at 60, we branched into the tillage business then, and into the heavier gear, and into the smoke spreading, the story spreading, and that was it.
So you've got your jabs, have you?
I have. I got my jabs. I got the two of them there, and I got the Pfizer vaccine, lucky enough. So I'm ready, set to go.
Do you get up in the tractor yourself now and again?
I do. I got my shoulder done 2 years ago.
Okay.
So I was warned, no more heavy stuff, Mike. Drive all right, because I'm not driving at the moment. I wouldn't even plan a machine for you now, but I do a lot of driving.
Yeah, yeah. Technology, I'm sure, has moved on an awful lot since you started first. A field like this, it takes days to do, maybe. Now it takes
a
few hours.
Right. We used to have the old Ford's tractors, TW20s and 10s.
Yeah.
And when I see these modern tractors, and the way fellas are driving them and taking things for granted, I wish to God I had kept one of the 20s and put them up in for the day and see what we went through.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. But the old gear, but of course the gear nowadays is unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
And you know, the Fusion Baler now is a master machine, like, you know, and all the machines are great, like, but the Fusion and the Combi Baler has taken over.
Yeah.
That's the great thing, like, you know. If we had that in our day, when we were baling hay, you see, since the round baler came, there's no crop lost.
Yeah. Well, what's the best tractor you ever had? Your favourite one?
The best tractor I ever had, let's say it was the TW10 we had in the yard years ago. It was a great tractor. And the first tractor I ever had, the second tractor I ever had, was a Ford 7000, a master tractor. Leon Massey was a great tractor, Leon, but then they lost their way a bit, like, you know.
Right.
But Massey are very good at the moment now again.
Yeah.
But it's hard to beat the John Deere. It's hard to beat the New Holland.
Right.
Those are my two mainstays at the moment.
Yeah. Well, listen, Michael, I'll let you go, and because I think there's going to be maybe a shower of rain, very shortly.
Yeah.
It's very dark over there.
Maybe I can get you a cup of tea or something like that.
Next time.
Yeah, right. Please God, yeah.
This time next year, we'll be all back to normal.
And thanks for coming to see us.
You're welcome.
It's great to see you coming to Limerick at long last.
Absolutely. And, that's great to get down here, yeah.
Great stuff. And yeah, you know, you're always welcome. And thanks again. And regards to all Naughty. That's it, yeah.
Thanks a million.
So that's it now.
That's it.
My story now.
Yes, that was Michael O'Donoghue, farm contractor there, and before that his son Ger, as the first cut of silage was being mowed in a field outside Croom in County Limerick this week.